Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Casey Grant, and today, the interview is going to be a very, very interesting one, and it's sad to say, but everything needs to be recognized, and September is Suicide Prevention Month, and so today my guest is Adelina Marshall, who is a registered nurse and deals with and in public health, and she is going to give us some facts on this terrible, terrible disease or situation, however the proper way is to describe this, but we're going to learn some facts that maybe could help save a loved one's life. We've all experienced, maybe some of us have, and I have firsthand experienced losing a loved one to suicide. And as a matter of fact, with a heavy heart, I just received a phone call just an hour ago that my cousin had committed suicide. So this is a tender, tender radio show for me, a tender moment. And so I am on the receiving end of losing a loved one to suicide. So with that, I'd like to introduce my guest, Ms. Adelina Marshall. Good morning, Adelina. How are you doing?
Good morning, Casey. I'm well, and sorry to hear this information about your recent loss. It leads us into the importance of suicide prevention. This, as you mentioned, is Suicide Prevention Month, and we want to highlight that suicide is a major health care issue in the United States, not just among our veterans, but also private population. We're starting to see more increases in suicide, and suicide is everybody's business, so we want to get that out there.
Absolutely, and thank you. You know, a little introduction about you to the audience. Adelina and I have been friends for a very, very long time. We both were flight attendants for Delta Airlines, which I say all the time on my radio show, and to highlight our history about us breaking the color barrier as among the first African-American flight attendants for Delta Airlines. Our story is told in my book, Stars in the Sky. But Adelina has gone on, and well, she always had two careers, which has always been very interesting to me. And as I said to you earlier, she is a registered nurse and now dealing in mental health. And she has quoted and has told me some the facts that you say we lose at least 22, is it approximately 22 veterans commit suicide every day, Adelina? Is that what you quoted to me?
22 veterans are committing suicide every day. But these numbers are also up in the general population. So while we are very focused on our veterans, and rightfully so, we do want to talk in general about suicide and the steps that we can take to identify it and also to help to curb the amount of people who feel that suicide is the only answer. And we know that it's not.
And we know that it's not. And I think that that's a very good statement, because if I may just tell a little story, the reason that this show was prompted, not only because it is for a very good cause and September is Suicide Month, I have been told that several flight attendants have been taking their lives, and one recently with our airline. And I just kind of wanted to do something on their behalf and make this an awareness to us all. And one of the things that you said, and we will get into, is you know, we aren't going to be all trained for it. My cousin, the one that I just said that just committed suicide, I had spoken to her, and she had expressed that she was thinking about committing suicide, and this was about a year ago. And I did direct her to the proper authorities to try to get help and everything else, and I did stay in contact. And being that I am now on a fresh receiving end of this, we have to address the helplessness that we the loved ones feel when you have lost one, a loved one. And give us some of the facts that we should look out for. Give us some ideas of what we should do to try to help a loved one.
So some of the recognizable signs of suicide, although it's not often expressed, sometimes it can be silent, and sometimes you have to, you know, if you know somebody, you feel there's a change. In the medical field, we call it their affect. Maybe the way they look, the way they're dressing might indicate to you that they may be depressed. But hopelessness and feeling like there's no way out, anxiety, easily agitated, sleeplessness, mood swings. Like, girl, I haven't been sleeping in a week. I've been thinking about this over and over again, the situation. Sometimes those are indicators to their friends and family that you need to sit down and avail yourself, you know, to the people who are feeling like this. Sometimes they'll say there's no reason to live. Rage or anger without provocation. Similar small things bother them or trigger outbursts. Engaging in risky activities without thinking. I have a friend whose son seemed to be engaging in very risky activities, drinking, swimming while drinking, taking the family car. These can be signs that they need intervention.
Yeah, we need to look out for. Absolutely.
Right.
And I'm sure that
the
signs go further than that, but those are some of the classic ones because
it does.
I have heard some of these things come from my cousin. And as you and I know, we both lost a flight attendant friend about 30 years ago that committed suicide. And that was part of some of the things that she did say to me. And she finally was successful. She had made several attempts and finally was successful. But I tell you, the switchboard is lighting up. So with those, you have given us a great introduction as to the signs. I'm going to take on a caller. So let's see what this person has to say. Good morning, caller. This is Casey Grant, host of the Fly Girl Show. Thank you for calling in. Hello? Okay, we're going to move to the next one then. I don't know what happened to that caller, but we'll move on. And some people are calling in that just want to listen and they don't want to make comment, and that's perfectly fine. So we'll move on to the call that I just clicked onto. Hello, would you like to state your name?
Well, my name is Bianchi, and I got this question.
Okay.
If a person wants to take their life, why are we trying to stop them? You know, I hear people say that folks shouldn't be eating beef, shouldn't be eating pork, and so on. So I've seen a lady with a shirt on saying we should stop eating the fish because they are friends. But women are allowed to abort babies even at 9 months based on it's their choice. So if a person chooses not to live, why are we messing with them? They're not harming nobody. They're grown.
And thank you so much. I think that's a very good question. Would you like to address that, Adelina?
Sure. That choice may be made spontaneously. It may be made for reasons that someone who is stable and have health wellness would not consider those to be life-threatening problems. Suicide also impacts the productivity of the nation. It not only impacts the person who's choosing to take their lives, but also those around them, their family members, their loved ones. And so while we understand that some may decide to make this decision, as a society, it is us who should try to intervene and let them know that that is not the answer.
that there's choices.
But you don't do that when it comes to abortion.
Well, this program is about suicide prevention, and so I won't address abortion.
And you're saying that it has an impact. If a person is employed and with a high unemployment rate, if they commit suicide, then somebody else would take their place, come off of unemployment.
So, sir, the news media recently let us all know that there's plenty of jobs, and it has nothing to do with unemployment. Okay? It has
and,
to do
and
with
once
depression
again, too,
and mental health.
And once again, too, I am going to say, too, that this show is about suicide, and I'm so thankful that the caller did call in with the question and the statement, and I hope that we did give him an answer that will clarify that. But we're going to move on to the next caller in a moment. But, Adelina, as you just said, no, it isn't about abortion. It isn't about job unemployment. This is a call. This is a program for those who are seeking information and advice and seeking help, and to give them an avenue for that. So go ahead, Adelina, if you would, and give us some more. You gave us some of the signs that we should look out for. Now, how do we know if in the very beginning is it time to call someone? Because I have posted on my website the numbers for suicide prevention helplines. Do we automatically advise them to call suicide helpline? I mean, what are the signs of it's just not a bad day, and you say, you know, if we've all said cavalier, not all, but I think maybe some of us have just said in a very casual, cavalier way, oh, I just want to kill myself. Well, I mean, those are not the times to run to the prevention hotline and make sure that you take your loved one to the hospital. But once we know a defined signs of it, when do we react? How should we react?
The person who is in crisis will know when they need help. And the crisis line is 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Sometimes people just need to talk, and if you call the line, they're willing to sit there and to hear you out. They are trained professionals. They are able to pick up if that person needed to have intervention. Many times people are depressed. Talking about it, we call it talk therapy, helps them a lot. And the suicide crisis line or helps those who are in stress, who are thinking about this, to have an outlet to discuss what their concerns are, and they can help them. Now, other signs that we would look for is that they're withdrawing from family and friends, so they make every excuse not to show up at an activity or cancel dates or something. So it's not something that you can just pinpoint, but it's a accumulation of many things. And as you know this person, then you will say, you know what, something's not right. Let me bring this up. Talking about suicide does not cause someone to want to commit suicide. There's nothing wrong with saying, are you okay today? I noticed there's been a change. I haven't heard from you. You know, your appearance has changed. Do you need me to help you? Do you want to talk about anything? So self-destructive behavior such as drug abuse, constantly focusing on weapons, can also trigger your friends or family to think that, you know what, there may be a problem here, especially if you haven't been discussing those things.
And you know, one of the things that we have people will say, and I don't think this is a correct statement to be made, but they say if they talk about it, they're not going to do it. That is a false statement, correct?
Yes, right. That is a false statement. They may be talking about it because they're talking, they're trying to let you know this is what they want to do. So some
they're
of the
reaching
signs
out. They're
that,
asking for help.
Right. So some of the signs that would come to mind that would be positive signs that they may be at risk for suicide is thinking about hurting or killing themselves, trying to find ways to do it, trying to talk for it, researching it on the internet. talking about death and dying or suicide. And again, the self-destructive behavior, drug abuse, weapons, driving fast, you know, a lot of these are signs. Of course, they may not be, but in the contents of other behavior changes, then those would be signs that would indicate that they're at risk and perhaps you need to reach out and try to get them some help immediately.
You know, in my research also, it says here that it's reported that approximately 5,000 individuals between the ages of 15 to 24 commit suicide. I've also talked to some friends of mine who are teachers dealing in special education, for one of the people that I talked to. And children as young as 9 years old. And that this is so heartbreaking to me, that nine years old, that these kids are committing suicide. And we don't understand this bullying, I'm sure, is one of the components of why they felt that they did not want to live. And I'm sure the parents are just racked with pain because of why they did not know or could not see or didn't understand. But I just, can you give us some insight, or is there anything, or do you know or have any idea on the inside of a child at 9 years old committing suicide?
Well, there have been news reports of very young children, more than not due to bullying. And I think that the families, once your child is getting ready to start getting ready for school, even as early as maybe first and second grade, you don't have to be very blunt, but you can talk to them every day, how their day went, how are they being treated at school, how are they treating other kids, because bullying can, you know, come from any community, any financial situations, children do experience this. And now with the internet and stuff, they're exposed to it a lot sooner than maybe they were years ago. You have to give your children the tools that they need to have good coping skills. And if they're being bullied, address it to them. Give them information and empowering them on how to handle bullying. Bring it to the attention of the school so they can be early intervention, so they will minimize the impact that that child may have.
You know, it's hard for all of us to fathom the thought of ending your life. And as the caller said, you know, it is a personal choice in spite of us trying to help, you know, those who are threatening or who have, you know, said or contemplated suicide. And ultimately it is a personal choice. And we're not going to get into all the other, the biblical, the religious aspects of it all, because it still is a personal choice. But it does
go further than
that person just taking their life. Their families are impacted, their friends are impacted, and they're left with that hopelessness of what they probably or possibly could have done, which you cannot allow that to beat you up for the rest of your life, because you reach out and you do the best that you're capable of doing. I just think that society has put so many different pressures on. I just don't understand. Is this the highest? Do you know of any statistics? Has suicide, has the rate risen at an enormous amount over economical reasons? Or do you have any idea of why people are not being able to cope any longer?
There
are
a lot of
reasons. Are we armed with this?
Yeah, there are a lot of reasons for that, and a lot of it is life stressors. But when people make personal choices, they need to make those choices of being of sound mind and body. And many times when people are engaging in thoughts of self-harm, it occurs because of depression, because of other mental health problems. It could be health problems that might make that individual feel that there is no answer to the things that are bothering them. But recovery is possible. People have traumatic events every day, and with the right help, talk therapy, medication, people do recover, and they go on to live a very long and successful life. There is a conversation now of screaming for depression, just like you would scream for diabetes or heart disease. And depression and mental health has to begin with whole health. And when we look, when we talk about that, we talk about the entire body. The brain is part of your body. And when people have depression or mental health issues, it's no different than if somebody was a diabetic or had long-term other health conditions, such as asthma. I'm an asthmatic. I manage that with appropriate medication, with following up with my doctor every 6 months, with knowing the signs and symptoms that may trigger that. And that goes for depression and other mental health issues. Sometimes they are triggered by activities or lack of activities, feeling loneliness, death, recent death in the family, or traumatic events. Even the news media and all the coverage that goes on about situations in Chicago and in the nation may cause people to feel depressed. So I would discourage them from listening to the news that day to get out, to change some of your lifestyle patterns and try to engage in other things. Chicago is a very good city for people who may be lonely, to get out, a lot of activity. And the people generally in Chicago are very nice and very supportive group. So I would just encourage that person to get out, you know, go window shopping, have a diversion. But if you're constantly depressed, everybody gets depressed, everybody. But if you're constantly depressed, that is impacting on your job, impacting on your lifestyle, your relationships, then I would encourage you to seek behavior health counseling.
I like that information that you just gave, because that's exactly right, and I'm glad that you made the statement that everyone has a down day, everyone has a depressed day, but it's when you have frequent days, they're too close together, then that's when it's beyond just that average depressed day. And colors, you know, that's one of the things that I have my degree in interior design, and that was one of the things that I wanted to do, is to work in the senior citizens homes, because colors have an effect on your well-being. And some of the things that you just said were very good pointers for those who are experiencing depression. There's always a little depression in everyone's day, but you have to get out and enjoy the sunshine and the fresh air, which does a world of wonders for anyone who's feeling a little low.
Correct. I would encourage that. And really, when you get out, I'm a people watcher, and sometimes it's very humorous to walk around downtown or on the Magnificent Mall to see things, and in a way, sometimes it could be very uplifting. So people, you know, have different outlets, but I would encourage anyone who's listening to this program that you understand the impact that depression and mental health has on the person who is experiencing that, and their whole health is very important. So reach out, pick up the phone, don't just text. I mean, we've gotten away from that. That's another isolatory behavior, is always texting. You know, pick up the phone and check on that person. Just say, well, I'm thinking about you today. How are you doing? Can we have lunch? Can we go out for a cup of coffee? You know, and then if you see that they're withdrawing quite a bit, then encourage them to get the help that is out there for them.
Very good point, because texting has taken over everyone's lifestyle now, and it is nothing like that. We've lost our socialization skills, and it is about reaching out and hearing that person's voice, because you can detect a lot. People can tell by my face. People can tell by my voice as to how I'm doing. I at once was going through a difficult time, and I thought I was doing a good job at camouflaging it until a friend pulled me to the side and said, something's wrong. So if you really, really have that one-on-one contact with people, your friends, if they are really your friends, will be able to help you and detect you. And that's a burden. That could be a heavy burden to some, but it's nothing like feeling like you've tried to help a person to overcome any type of depressions they may have, or just having a bad day.
Right. Anybody can have a bad day.
Anyone can have a bad day. And
but
I've heard you say the term self-harm.
Self-harm.
Is that a new term for us to be educated to use, or is suicide politically correct?
It's a term that I don't think the general public addressed often, but suicide sometime, or talking about suicide, can be hard for some people to address or to use those terminology. So self-harm is a good way. If you don't feel comfortable, just you can ask somebody. Generally, we find that a lot of times they will tell you if they're thinking about it. So you can ask, have you had thoughts of harming yourself? Things don't seem right to me about you. I've noticed these changes. Are you okay? Are you thinking about harming yourself or anyone else? And if they tell you yes, then that means that person needs immediate attention. And don't hesitate to call and get them the care that they need, because, again, mental health, suicide prevention is everybody's business. Approximately 75% of mental health conditions really begin by age 24, sometime younger, and there are delays between the first appearance of symptoms and intervention is almost 10 years. So you have to be mindful, and again, you don't have to, constantly pound somebody, but I would say that if it's to the point that you're noticing these changes, that's the point that person needs intervention, and recovery is possible.
Now, when you said self-harm, to me, what came to my mind when you said that is I've heard of people trying to do that, where they slice their wrist or they're always doing something that's very painful. And is that, or can you say, or is there such a train, is that like the beginning stages of maybe them finally trying to commit suicide, or are these people just reaching out for attention? Is there any correlation in that?
So I don't think that's easily identifiable, but I do believe that it is noted that when people are trying to self-harm, they're trying to bring attention to their pain. They're trying to relieve pain that they have that's internal. And anytime anyone is trying to self-harm, sometimes they don't, it's just surface injuries. However, those are signs that there needs to be intervention. So I would encourage you to make sure that if those things are occurring, and sometimes people wear long sleeves to hide that, but sometimes you can glimpse and you might see where they've done these markings on their arm. It can be, the lower portion of their arm generally, because it's more accessible. And I would say at that point, if it was my friend, my family member, I would definitely try to encourage them to get in and get intervention. And depending on what it is, I would definitely call 911.
Absolutely. Always call 911 instead of you trying to find the number for the suicide prevention, which Adelina gave us, which once again is 800-273-8255.
You can lock that number into your phone so you don't have to search for it.
Excellent idea.
Yeah, you can lock that number in. I mean, it's a number that everyone should have, just like having 911. You should have this number readily available to you. Most of us carry phones, and we'll reach for our phone before we reach for anything else. So I would just encourage you to put that as your number one number. You could start it off with an A, so on your list, that number will show up. But the number 1-800-273-8255 is a number that is very important for everyone to have.
Perfect. Well, I think that I can't. Do you have any other points that you think that you might want to tell my audience to be aware of or to know? I think that we've done a great job in our short time in covering some of the most important facts about suicide.
Well, I'd like to let everyone know that when you're talking about health and you're talking about eating right and you're talking about exercising, and exercising is very good for mental health, that health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So your doctors will probably start asking you questions about your mental health. Depression comes under mental health. But there is no shame in feeling depressed or talking about your feelings or talking about that you have a mental health issue. Again, those things can be managed through medication, through talk therapy, through awareness. Our best defense is awareness. Some of the things that contribute to those is poverty, financial displacement, food insecurity, child care, work issues. But if you're confronted with that, there is resolution. You know, reach out. Again, Chicago is one of those cities that have a lot of resources and availability to people who may be having these problems. Reach out to your friends. Talk about it. Come up with planning. And definitely try to get intervention if you are feeling that you want to harm yourself or anyone else.
Well, I really appreciate this. It's so enlightening. And as I said, I do this show with a heavy heart today myself. So I'm encouraged by the things that you have said today and the information that we have given out, because it does leave the ones behind feeling very helpless and heartbroken over the situation. And I thank you so much for your insight, because it was very, very enlightening. Thank you so much, Adelina. And your knowledge will be definitely appreciated to those who have listened to my show. And with that, I will let you go, Adelina, and I'm going to close my show with more information and the numbers. But thank you so much for being my guest today, and a very knowledgeable guest at that.
Well, thank you for inviting me to speak. And my closing statement to all your listeners is that you are not alone. And just reach out. We are here to help you. And it is not something that cannot be resolved.
Thank you so much, Adelina.
Enjoy your day.
And you have a good day.
Thank you.
And for my audience, I will just kind of recap this wonderful interview. And I say wonderful, but I guess I should say more enlightening, because for those that are listening, and as Adelina said, there is hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. You have to reach out, and there's so many agencies that you can reach out for. And two, if you're in Chicago, there is Northwestern Crisis Hotline, and their number is 312-926-8100. And, of course, if it's an immediate attention that you need, always call 911. And as Adelina said, you know, suggested, put it in your telephone. This should be a number that you should have in your phone, and that is the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. And that number is 800-273-8255. And that number is listed on my website, on the Blog Talk Radio site. And so for any information that you want to go back and refresh, please just go back to that. Listen to my show. I think Adelina was very encouraging and very soothing in the way she talked, because she really is very knowledgeable in everything that she has, the information that she has given you. And with that, I will just sign off, and please reach out for those who need the help, and for those who are experiencing losing a loved one, this too shall pass, and we will move forward and realize that the person that we love is never going to be forgotten, And we will never, ever understand their pain. But for those that are going through it, we can be there to help as much as possible. So with that, I am going to sign off. This is another The Fly Girl Show. I hope that it was informative. I hope you learned something. I hope that it will, if there is a need, it will be there for you. The information will be there for you to help you. So tune in. Stay tuned. Come back next week when I hope to have another wonderful guest and another show that would be informative. And once again, I am Casey Grant, and this is The Fly Girl Show. We hope to see you. Come in, call in. If you don't want to make a comment, it's okay. Just